book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29. Hallelujah. Today's message is Mission Impossible. I was going to have Brother Jeff play the theme song, but we decided not to do that. Hallelujah. Mission Impossible. We're going to be talking about Noah and his impossible mission in the book of Genesis chapter 6. But Acts 5:29 says, Peter and other apostles, the other apostles, replied, we must obey God rather than man. Hallelujah. More modern translations, a slight twist, as Peter and the apostles answered, it's necessary to obey God rather than man. So my question I have for us today is, what do you do when the job is too big? What do you do when you look at the situation, you look at the challenge, you look at the things in life, and it's just plain overwhelming? Now, maybe that's never happened to any of y'all, but it happens to me quite regularly. You know, life has a way. Say life has a way. And sometimes it weighs a lot. Life has a way of presenting us with various problems, various challenges. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be bad. You can just be going along, and life will challenge you. Amen? Most of the time, our challenges fall in the range of what could be called normal. That's a kind of an ambiguous term there, but, you know, normal doesn't mean it has to be done instantly. It's not life-threatening. Life itself is challenging. Can someone say amen? Now, for some of you folks out there, you're just starting your education career, whether it's in elementary or you're going on into graduate school, It's a challenge gets your education, but it's a normal challenge. It's something most people face. Hallelujah. Maybe it's getting a job and earning a living for you and your family. That can be really challenging, especially in the days we're living in. Especially with all the unemployment, all this stuff. It can be really challenging, but it's still a normal challenge. If you're a family person, you have the challenge, a real challenge, of raising your family. That's a hard thing to do these days. But it still falls in the realms of normality. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's normal. Hallelujah. I didn't tell you to say they were. I said, it's normal. Life in general is challenging. But for most of us, it's pretty normal. I want to say something here, especially to some younger folk and some older folks who still think like younger folk. We don't quite get it. Life is challenging. You know, I hear people say, well, it's too hard. It says, life is challenging. Turn and preach this to your neighbor. Tell them, life is challenging. Just tell somebody, because a lot of people don't know that. Every little thing comes along, oh my God, what am I going to do? Life is challenging. Just getting from where you were born to when you're going to die is a challenge. Getting from one day to the next is a challenge. Getting through the traffic in Holmesdale is a challenge. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a disaster. For the sake of anyone listening on the internet, y'all come visit us. We'll show you exactly what we're talking about. But every once in a while, something comes along. Life just dishes out something that's not normal. Amen? Some things really, really, really are challenges. Amen? Matter of fact, some things are so big, they seem impossible. Some of you are looking and saying, where's my papers? They're right here. They're safe. I got them. Hallelujah. Some things are so big, they seem impossible. Thus the name of this sermon, Mission Impossible. What is it that we do when the phone rings? It's the family doctor, and those tests you took a couple days ago didn't turn out quite so good. And maybe he's saying, you know, you got cancer. Now what? See, that's not normal. That's pretty big. That's something that will take your breath away. Maybe in the middle of the night, God for help if anybody's had this problem, but in the middle of the night you wake up to find a police officer at your front door. He's got some bad news about your son or daughter. Now what are you going to do? See, that's not normal. That's pretty big stuff. That's pretty big stuff. The baby's born. We're excited. Oh, man. But then they start getting a little older and you notice that something isn't quite right. Someone uses a word like autism. Now what? Hallelujah. Maybe you're... Don't let that get out on the internet. Someone just said, call Pastor George. Maybe your bank closes, and what about my investments? Health, finances, family. What do you do when your mission is termed impossible? I got a word for you here that you might not like. It's called obedience. We're going to talk about obeying God. See, that's what happened with Peter and the apostles. That's okay. I can scream louder than that, baby. Some of y'all just said amen. My kids can say amen to that. That's without a microphone. Hallelujah. When Peter and the apostles stood before the Sanhedrin, the men who held their future in their hands, so to speak, they said, you aren't going to preach no more. Now, for some people today, they say, okay. But they went and said, you can't talk about Jesus. And Peter stood up. You know, old Peter, old run and hide Peter, old deny the Lord Peter. Well, he had something happen. He done got a hold of the Holy Ghost, so the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And he looked at the Sanhedrin and said, whether it's right to obey God or man, you be the judge. See, we have got to make up our minds sometime in life. Hopefully you've done it by now, and you'll be able to do it each time a problem arises, to say, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the challenge, I'm going to do the things of God. I'm going to follow through. My child may be autistic, but I'm going on for God. My bank may be closed down, but I'm going on for God. My health may be poor, but I'm going on for God while I'm waiting for my healing. Can someone say amen? So you can say amen or oh my, it's all up to you. Glory unto God. Obedience is no easier for an adult than it is for a child. Now, that may be a revelation for some. You know, we look at our children and we wrestle back and forth depending on their age. And you say, my God, is that child ever going to learn how to say yes and do what they're supposed to do? Well, I don't know if God talks to anybody up there in heaven, but he could say the same thing about most of us adults. You know, when's that George ever going to get it right? One of my daughters called me this many, many, many years ago. She said, Daddy, will I ever get a chance to tell my kids anything but no? I said, yeah, when they're about 25. But there comes a time for all of us when we go through training. You know, whether it's as a child we have to be trained, as we get older we have to be trained. As an adult, we should, emphasis on that word, be better equipped to understand God's call to obedience because of a thing called experience. See, the one thing I have that you children don't have is a lot of years. And they all said, amen. But see, in those years, you can guess how many. In those years, I've had a lot of time to make mistakes. I've had a lot of time to hear God and ignore him. I've heard had a lot of time to do it wrong. But see, everything I do wrong is meant to teach me how to do it right next time. You know, don't please listen to me real close. Don't ever get down on yourself because you made a mistake. That mistake is meant to teach you something. Next time you get into a situation that looks like, smells like, and feels like the last time, don't make the same mistake. Learn from it. Say, oh, last time I said yes, I should have said no. So this time I'm going to say maybe. No, no. Hallelujah. I'd rather you said maybe than yes. We have to learn from our experiences. Hallelujah. Each trial, each challenge we face, it's meant to be a learning experience that prepares us for something maybe bigger or more difficult. I remember talking to a family one time. I was talking about this truth. And the man scratching says, wait a minute, preacher. Are you trying to tell me what I'm going through today is getting me stronger for something worse that's going to happen tomorrow? Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. How many realize, okay, those of us who are a little older can answer a little quicker maybe. How many realize that as life goes on, it don't get much easier? The challenges become more and more. They become bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. How we answer God's call to obey him, especially when the job is too big, actually is a reflection of the depth of our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when I see a people, and if you're one of them, take hope today. But when I see a people who fall apart every time something happens, I say, you know what? You have a problem that's deeper than the situation you're facing. You're lacking a relationship with God. Amen? How many here have been saved for more than a year? Well, let me ask you a question now. In that year, have you had a problem, or two or three or four? Has God ever given up on you in those problems? See, we learn through that. Now, I've been doing this thing for 30 years, and I can go back a long ways and say, you know what, from the very beginning, God's been with me. I've had a lot of challenges. I made a lot of mistakes. And God has never, ever given up on me, Dave. God only knows why, but he doesn't. And I want to give that to you as something you can take home and rest with today. No matter what you're going through, God won't give up on you. If you grab a hold of him and follow his ways, read his word, do as he's trying to do what he's telling you to do, God will not give up on you. And when you get it wrong, he'll be there to correct you. When you get it wrong, he'll be there to instruct you. When he's there, he'll be there to pick you up and say, come on, we can do this. I was watching when I walked in this morning, some of the babies in the back here toddling. And the one little baby that they let go of, and she dove for mama. She didn't have to walk at that moment. Mama was close enough. But I see spiritual things in that. Every once in a while, I can't walk either. But I can take a dive, and God's right there. I can grab a hold of his pant leg and not fall down. And he'll get a hold of me and hug me and say, now, try again. See, that's what they did back there with that little baby this month. She backed up and tried again. Hallelujah. But the baby didn't fall down, and neither has George. And neither with you. If you'll hang on to God. If you're going to fall, fall forward. If you're going to fall, fall towards God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be preaching here in just a minute. The sin that began with Adam and Eve and then continued through Cain and their offspring. If you look at the world and you look at the scriptures and the world in light of scripture, sin had to have multiplied even more in generations that followed. I mean, things got pretty bad. The sin became so great, in fact, that the Bible actually describes the heart of God in Genesis 6:5. This is one of the saddest scriptures, or set of scriptures, in the Bible. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, someone say every, that's a word that like all, it means exactly what it says. Every imagination. Now, imagination, by the way, is a thought process. It's not just, well, I'm just going to imagine I'm richer. I'm going to imagine. No. Everything we think. Every thought, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, man's heart, was only evil continually. It wasn't just here or there. It wasn't, don't raise your hand, but we've all had a bad moment. We've all thought the wrong thing, dreamed the wrong thing, wanted the wrong thing. You know, some of the stuff that has come out of our mouth, especially when someone cuts me off in the highway, I get unsanctified right quick. I really get it. Hallelujah. I already made my repentance before I started the message. Glory unto God. The Bible not only states that man's heart was wicked, but if you read one more verse, it says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So now, I don't know how you view God. But I tend to, because I am human, I see him in very human terms. When they talk about the arms of God, I don't know if God even has arms, but I can see him holding me in his. And when I read this scripture, this is the one that just gets me. One of the older versions says that God repented that he had made man. King James Version. But it says here that this is a newer version, NIV, I believe it is, that says that his heart was filled with pain. Can you imagine God being heartbroken? Can you imagine that what we were doing, men were doing, was so bad that God just had a moment, oh man. Let me give you a parent moment for a second here. How many, again, don't raise a hand, I just want you to think about this. How many have watched your children do something that you just know is going to hurt them, destroy them, hurt them in the future? How many you feel nothing in your heart right about now? You seen them made a really bad decision or do something really, really. That's what God was feeling. And multiply that times however many was upon the face of the earth. When God looks at our sin, see, some people see God as an angry God. I know there's anger in him. I read it in the Bible. But what I also read is a compassionate God, an empathetic God, a God that knows exactly what you're going through and feels exactly what you feel. And I really believe, Brother Jeff, has a heartache when we do wrong. God wants so much more for us. Why do you as parents get upset when your kids make those decisions? Because you care about them, because you love them. You want the very best for your family. Amen? God wants better for you than you ever wanted for yourself. God wants more for your children than you could ever dream or think. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. God has a life, God has a happiness, God has a fulfilled feeling for you that you can't even imagine. And when we do things like this, his heart is filled with pain. Hallelujah. Now, that pain could have been physical. Most like it was emotional. But in either case, the Hebrew word is a word of severity. It was a great pain. It wasn't just a passing thing and a little Tums will get rid of it. I'm talking about God's heart was so hurt. Oh, hallelujah. To address the problem that man had created, God chose a man, as he usually does, who was righteous and still loved him. Let me tell you something. I believe wholeheartedly every bit of scripture, but I especially believe the part that says the Spirit of God goes throughout the land. I really believe the eyes of God are going throughout the countryside, going throughout the world, going throughout the towns, the cities. God is in Honesdale looking for people who want to worship him and want to live right. Amen? Matter of fact, the word righteous, let me give you a little teaching here. The word righteous that's used to describe Noah here indicates he sought to worship and obey and live in fairness with his fellow man. The fellow man, by the way, who did not share his values or beliefs. Whoa. Did y'all hear that? See, Noah was considered righteous, not because of what he did, but because he was compassionate towards those who disagreed with him. People who called him names, people who laughed at him, people who rejected him and everything he stood for. The Bible says God chose him because his heart wanted to do the right thing. He was trying to live right, wanted to live as fellow man. Now I wonder, God help me with this, I wonder when God is looking through Honesdale today, how many people he finds that qualify as Noah qualified. Y'all got to make that purpose. Are you in a position where you want to worship, where you want to obey, and you're trying to live at peace with your fellow man, even though they don't believe you? Whew, do you hear that on the tape? That's called silence. Hallelujah. Genesis 6:9 said, this is the account of Noah. I want you to look at this word right here. Noah was righteous man, blameless. Listen to this. Look at the syntax of the sentence. Blameless among the who? Noah had a testimony. See, we think testimony is something we say. Testimony is something we live. Is when they look at Sharon or they look at Mary Lee or they look at Jeff and they say, what kind of person are they? That's your testimony. Notice I didn't put myself in there. When people look at you and what they draw from that, when they see you reacting with your family, they see if you're honest, are you clean, spirited, are you compassionate? Noah was blameless amongst the people. The people who were sinning, the people who had denied God, the people who were turned their back on God, looked at Noah and said, Noah's a pretty good guy. Amen? And he walked with God. Gee, I wonder if there's a connection between the two. He says we're great birth. Noah was a shining example of goodness in a dark world. I want you to think about this. I want you to think real hard about this. I hear a lot of people, and I'm one of them, that we tend to every once in a while begin to badmouth the times we live in. Not the people, the times. We live in some pretty rough times. There's a lot of godlessness that goes on in these times. Noah lived in a really dark, dark time. I don't know, Brother Dave, how many people were living right. All I know is God looked and found one. I'm not even going to try to figure that out. All I know is when God looked through the entire earth, he found one. Things were pretty dark. But Noah lived as an example. Now, I want to draw from that and send you home with this thought as well. No matter how bad your neighborhood is, no matter how bad your school is, no matter how bad your job is, no matter how bad Honesdale or any other place in this world you live is, you can be a light. You must be a light to this area. If the rest of the world turns their back on God and worships Satan, we must stand up and worship Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Without our light, there will be nothing but darkness. Hallelujah to God. Now, I do not mean to be prideful. I do mean to be factual. We all know, or at least we've heard, of the story of Noah and the ark. But I'm wondering, have you really considered the enormity of the job he was called to do? You know, we tend to look at some of these stories. I'm purposely picking out these simple stories to preach on recently. As soon as you say Noah and the ark, oh yeah, I know about that. We see a big boat and a bunch of little animals, you know, something we teach the kids in the back room. But have you ever really considered how big of a job? Do you understand what God was asking this man to do? He was going to do something, first of all, never been done before. Amen? The ark, how many here like football? Anybody here play football? You know, if you catch that thing at one goalpost, it's a long run to the next goalpost. It's a long. The ark was 1.5 times the length of a football field. It goes beyond your average rowboat, folks. Okay? 1.5 times the length of a football field. It was as wide as a basketball court is long and as tall as a 5-story building. Can someone say big? The job that God called Noah to do was a big job. Amen? There were 3 decks on the inside, full of rooms to house all kinds of different animals. It was to be made of one specific kind of wood. They said, well, he lived in the middle of the forest. No, he didn't. He lived in an arid, he lived in a desert. And God said, you're going to build this huge thing out of wood that doesn't even exist where you live. And then it's going to flow. The biggest water Noah had ever seen may have been a small stream. What I'm trying to say, the job that gave Noah was so big, it made no sense. If you're a fan of Bill Cosby, he's got some jokes about this that are kind of funny. Hallelujah. But the point is, God sometimes gives us a job that's hard to do. Can somebody say, Mission Impossible? God, now listen. I can pretty much guarantee that before we get together again next week, you're not going to get a call from God to build an ark. I could be wrong. If y'all get a call, you start building, I'll come help. Hallelujah. All the carpenters of the place said, me too. Hallelujah. Annie will handle all the animals. Glory to God. God gave Noah an impossible thing to do. Now, it's obvious that no one had ever built a floating zoo before. Especially something that size. I mean, other than the mountains, there was nothing that big. Amen? God's given us a big job to do here in Honesdale, too. Fortunately, someone say fortunately. Fortunately, God knew what he was doing. Noah didn't have a clue. Can anybody identify with that statement? I ain't got a clue. There are times I don't have a clue. How am I going to do this? I don't have a clue. I'm supposed to be the leader, and people look at me, how are we going to do this, Pastor? I don't have a clue. But we're going to do it because God said to do it. Noah did not come from Caltech. He did not come from a college. He had no bulldozers. He had no chainsaws. He had no cranes that we know of. Depends if you watch a History Channel or not. I don't go there. It had never been done before. And he said, okay. Well, I don't know if he said okay, but the bottom line is he did the job. Amen? So somewhere along the line, Noah looked at God's words and said, okay, I'm going to do it. Just turn and tell your neighbor, God knows what he's doing. Just turn, make a declaration today. If you can't say it, come on up here, I'll lay hands on you, you get filled with the Spirit of Jesus, then you can say it. Amen. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in your future. He knows what he's doing in your finances, what he's doing in your health, what he's doing in his family, your family. He knows. Our job to find out. A little side note here, modern shipbuilders, they've confirmed that the dimensions given in the Bible would be ideal to ensure a large wooden vessel could remain upright and afloat in heavy seas. I love when people look at the Bible and say, oh, that's just a little fairy tale. Really? Well, whoever wrote the fairy tale got the size right. Their engineering was pretty good. Hallelujah. I know the Bible's not a book of engineering, but it shows me that God's an engineer. Glory unto God. I think maybe he should build our bridges and roads around here. I don't know. Glory to God. The flood, I guarantee if God was in charge of this bridge over here, he'd be done by now. Made of gopher wood maybe, but it'd be done. The flood that we read about in the book of Genesis, it was meant to be one of a kind. The word of God, it was never going to happen again. God said, I'm never going to do this to the people again. The Hebrew words used here were actually coined specifically to describe that one thing. It's only found three places, Psalms 29, Isaiah 54, 9, and the book of Genesis. God made words to describe his feelings about the people and to ensure the people that it was never going to happen again. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about Noah for a second. We've been talking about the boat. A ship, depends. You sailors will get me after service. There ain't no boat. A boat's something you row. I've made that mistake. I talked to some sailors one time about a boat. I got corrected. I got instructed. Rebuked with all love. Hallelujah. But I want you to think about Noah. Noah, in addition to caring for his family, in addition to doing his daily tasks, was given the responsibility of not only building the ark, but housing and feeding two of every kind of animal in the world. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not really an animal person. I'm really glad I didn't. If God calls someone to build an ark, I really hope it's not me, okay? But according to Genesis chapter 6, says you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if you watch the Animal Planet, there are creatures out there, I don't even know what they are. But the Bible says, now you can take this as fact or fiction, the Bible says that he had to bring in and house two of everything. Whew, I got one dog and that's enough to keep me busy. Skip down to verse 21, says you are to take every kind of food. Now, not only did he have to bring in the animals, he had to feed them things. Notice the Bible doesn't say anything about the cleanup. It'd just be my luck, Brother Dave, I'd be on the shovel. Amen, amen. You're to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And take care of your family. And do whatever. I don't know what Noah did for a living. I think this is what he did for a living for a long time. But in spite of everything else, God laid this on top of him. You know, I've said this before. I want to say it at least one more time. We sometimes think that we have to be in a position of doing nothing before God will use us. Let me give you some biblical advice. God has only always called people who are already busy. He doesn't call the lazy. I'm waiting for a calling from God. You got a long wait for that call. Get busy doing something. First of all, support your family. Get involved with your kids. Then get involved with the local church. You don't have anything to do? Come talk to me. Come talk to Sister Sharon or Sister Becky. We will find something for you. There's always something. I'm waiting for God to call. Until he calls, let me talk to you. When God calls, I'll empower you and release you. Until then, I can really find a way to keep you busy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here's something cool. Notice throughout the scriptures, you read it, Noah had this responsibility, but Noah didn't have to go get him. So here's the point I want to get here. The Bible says that God calls the animals to come. He calls the animals to come at just the right minute. Can you imagine they showed up too early? Imagine they showed up too late. Yeah, that'd be a problem too. But God knows the timing. Because Noah obeyed, God performed miracles. You know, sometimes we sit back and say, God, I need a miracle. God says, get up and do something. Then you'll really need a miracle. See, we want miracles before we need them. Hallelujah.
I want to have a perfect life and believe God for miracles. If you've got a perfect life, y'all don't need a miracle.
Us folks that are all messed up, we need the miracles. Hallelujah. I believe in divine health, but I also know that when we get sick, God will heal us. Glory unto God. When Noah needed the help, God was there. Caused those people to come. Matter of fact, he not only brought the animals, he shut the door at the right moment. I got a sermon to preach on that. I won't preach it today, I promise. But only God could close that door. I don't believe that Noah had the heart to do it. You see, I have a feeling. The Bible says that he was a righteous man and lived with, in good with his neighbors. And I think when the rains came, sister, I think they start beating on the side of the ark. Think about that. You're in the ark. You know what's coming. God told you, and it's raining. Never rained before. And all the neighbors that used to laugh at you, and all the ones that were teasing, all the ones making stupid remarks, now they're, Noah, Noah, let me in. I don't know about y'all. I have to let them in. God said, no more. Doors closed. It takes God to know. It's not for us to make that judgment. God makes it. God's making it. Now listen, in this mess, this challenge, I don't know if God got discouraged or how often. It took a long time to build the ark. A lot of years. And all during that time, you have to wonder. It's one of those wondering things. What were the neighbors saying? What was his family saying? What was his friends saying? You just see them hanging around the water hole. Oh, did you see what Noah's doing over there? That old fool's building a boat. What's a boat? Hallelujah. I don't know just how badly his neighbors ridiculed him. But this is one thing you can assume. You can assume that they did. You look at mankind. Soon as someone stands up to do something for God, someone's got something negative to say about it. Hallelujah. You may not be building an ark. You may be holding yourself for your husband and or wife. You may be walking away where you won't curse and cuss. You may be not telling all those dirty stories. The world will look at you and call you crazy because you stand up to be clean. When Noah went to build the boat, they laughed at him. They mocked at him, called him all kinds of things that we can't turn our tongue to these days. Hallelujah. I don't even know at this point if maybe his parts of his family said that the old man lost it. Now, young people, please don't raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, do it so your parents can't see you. Seriously, don't raise your hand. I shouldn't even ask the question after saying that. But how many of you are looking at it and say, oh man, my parents have lost it? They're making decisions that we don't get. I thought my father was the stupidest man in the world. Don't need more. Got a lot of respect for him. I tell you the Mark Twain story, but you've heard it too many times. Hallelujah. His whole family. But look it. I know that he did everything just as he commanded. You know how I know it? The next scripture. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. It was crazy, unheard of, never done before, and way too big for one man to accomplish. But the simple scripture says Noah did what he was told to do. Someone like to give me a definition of obedience? Doing what you're told to do. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. All of what we just talked about, all the story of Noah, is a great example of faithful obedience that we can all learn from. We need to look at these scriptures. This is not just some little nursery rhyme that we're going to read the kids in the back room in children's church. This is something that you and I, as serious believers, need to look at and say, Noah did the impossible. When he began to do the impossible, God showed up. God showed up, the impossible was completed. Therefore, I can learn this from that. If I will obey what God tells me to do, when it's necessary, God will give me the strength and or a miracle, and the job will get done if I don't give up. God always gives us a what? Example. Noah is an example of a man who was given a specific job to do, specific directions that made no sense whatsoever. Let me warn you. Let me help you. Let me teach you. When something comes to you from God, you don't necessarily have to agree with it. It doesn't have to make sense to you. Matter of fact, many times it won't make sense to you. But God is smarter than you. He's smarter than me. He's smarter than us all put together. He's not only smarter than y'all, he's smarter than all y'all. Hallelujah. That's plural. Glory unto God. God gives us examples. No power tools, no cranes, no labor force, no experience. It made no sense. But by obeying the impossible, turn to your neighbor and say, he's the Lord of the impossible. By obeying the impossible, Noah saved mankind. Matter of fact, all of life was saved by one man's obedience. Whoa. We may never know the impact of our obedience or the lack of it. What if? I love doing this when I counsel people. I'm the counselor of the what if. Someone give me an answer, I'll say, but what if? What if Noah said no? What if he didn't complete it? What if partway through the job he just gave up? Now, there's always going to be some religious types that say, well, God would have found someone else. Maybe. Well, all I know is I'm here today, and so are y'all. You're here today because one man got a direction from God that made no sense, and he followed it until it was done. God will set us in a town. God will set us in a church. God will put us in a job. He'll put us places and say, I want you to be there. It makes no sense. You have no idea what your presence will accomplish, and you have no idea what your lack of obedience, what harm that can do to someone. Someone may be on that job, someone may be in your classroom that needs to know about Jesus and have a miracle from him, but you're holding back because you're afraid you may not be liked. I don't think Noah was well liked until it started raining anyway. See, and that's going to happen someday because God's going to rain judgment down upon Holmesdale. And when he does, it'll be too late. You can knock on the church doors all you want. We'll be gone. Hallelujah. But as long as we're doing what we're supposed to do now, we can alter the future. The future plans of this town can be altered by God believing, praying, working people. This town does not have to be judged and found in the balance wanting. We can make a difference. Hallelujah. For the New Testament church, which is us, Jesus is our example. We can look at Noah and say, that's Old Testament, fine. Jesus is the example of the New Testament. Jesus obeyed God at every turn of his life. Some of the stuff that Jesus went through, I'll tell you what, y'all be very glad that I'm not Jesus. Some of the stuff that God wanted him to do, you got to be kidding me. Even when Jesus had a moment in the garden where everything was coming down upon him, all of the pressure, all of the responsibility, he cried out, God, if it's possible. I've heard people preach on this and that they do such a terrible job on it. They make it act like Jesus was some kind of coward. But he cried out and said, oh God, if it's possible, take this away from me. I don't think he begged. I don't think he pleaded. I don't think he cried around, I don't want to go to the cross. No. He said, if it's possible, I really don't want to do this. But nevertheless, your way, your will. And you know what happened? Think about it. What happened? The Bible said God sent angels. I'm not an angel preacher. I don't preach that doctrine. But I do know the Bible says the angels are ministers sent from God to minister to his people. And the Bible says when Jesus got done, he was strong. He was strong. The angels went back to wherever they came from. Jesus stood up and went to the cross. Because he went to the cross, you and I can be born again. You and I can be saved. Our sins are forgiven. And now I have a future. Hallelujah. But guess what? I want to give that future to someone else. And the only way I give it to someone else is to obey God. Amen? Hallelujah. I got a little cute little story I want to read you here. I wanted to lighten this up at the end. But it's a story about obedience. Annie, you'll like this one. You're an animal person. In the booklet, The Daily Bread, I think you've all seen those. There's a true story. It goes as such. It says, how we admire the obedience that dog shows to its master. Have you ever seen, this week the dog shows have been on TV. I'm amazed. Them critters just do exactly what they're told to do. Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Now, the first thing I have to ask when I read like this, how does a dog die in a forest fire? You run from fire. Heartbroken, the man explained to Rutledge how it happened. Because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went to the forest. His faithful friend understood, and that's exactly what he did. Then a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog was left. But he didn't move. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to his master's words.
With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I know he would do it." Now, I'm not asking you to stay in a forest fire and die, but that last sentence means a lot. I wonder if God can look at any of us today. Say, "I got to be careful what I tell that preacher because he's going to do it." I wonder if he can say it to any of us out here. "I got to be careful what I tell those folks because they're going to obey me. They're going to do it." That's the kind of obedience it took for Noah to build the ark. That's the kind of obedience it took for Jesus to go to the cross for us. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Peter told those who were going to arrest him, imprison him, or worse, "I must obey. It's necessary I obey God rather than you. I'm not preaching rebellion. I'm not preaching lawlessness. But when you're told or ordered to do what goes against the word of God, you have a moral right to stand up and say, 'No, I will follow God.'" Hallelujah. I want you to, this weekend, or even starting right now, I want you to think of a time that God directed you to do something. Jeff, could you play the piano over here for me, please? I want you to think of a time when you felt that God was telling you or directing you to do something. I got to be careful with the word "tell," because I'll be honest with you, a lot of people don't hear voices. Some that do, well. God deals with me usually not through voices. But I know when I've been directed. It's unmistakable when God puts me in a direction. Hallelujah. When's the last time, or when it was a time, when God told you to do something? How did that moment make you feel? You know, sometimes when God gives direction, it can be scary. "You want me to do what? You've got to be kidding me." You know, when I tell these stories, I sometimes talk about Noah and Abraham. There's one thing you don't see up in the Bible. There was a Mrs. Noah, and there was a Mrs. Abraham. Noah had to go home and convince the wife, "Honey, I'm going to build a ship. Come on, wives." Hallelujah. It can be scary, but you know what? It's one of the most exciting moments of all your life. When you know that God has spoken or directed or impressed, you know it and you have something to do. God reveals his faithfulness. God reveals his strength when we obey him in the things he asks us to do. Sometimes we struggle and say, "Well, I don't know if that was God or not." Here's one thing you can think about. If what you're being impressed to do is way too big for you to do it, good possibility it's God. If it's something you can do with ease, maybe not so much. God always asks us to do what we can't do. Now, some people have a real problem with that, but please listen to the rest of my sentence here. God will always cause us or ask to do what we can't do so he can prove his strength to us. God moves to us and through us. He shows us his strength and then imparts his strength to you, Brother Dave. The things that God has called us to do in this church is way too big for humans to do. But because we've been willing to obey, we've made some bold steps in the last several months, God is coming through. Things are changing in a powerful, powerful way. And I will make a prediction right now. Holmesville is never going to be the same. Hallelujah. God gave Noah the strength to finish his impossible mission. But please read the last part of the sentence up here. Noah had to start the job. If you're feeling impressed by God to move forward, don't sit still. "Well, I'm just going to sit here and wait till God moves." He's already moving. Your turn. Your turn. God wants us to start the job. God wants us to get moving. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's something in your finances. Maybe it's something in your lifestyle. Maybe it's a deeper commitment to him, a deeper commitment to the church. I don't know. Maybe it's to get on a plane and fly someplace you've never been before. Can I tell you something here? The devil will never, ever send you to the mission field. The devil don't want you preaching Jesus to people. I've heard people say, well, someone got killed in the mission field. They must not have been following God.
They went home to be with Jesus. They're already where we're trying to get to. Just because someone dies, they say, well, it must not have been God's will. Please show me where we're not going to die. I see eternal life. I see the one I close my eyes here. I open my eyes in glory. And if I got to go through a hole in the ground or a hole in the sky, one way or the other, I'm going to home to be with Jesus. Amen. We got to get the job started. Jesus cried in the garden, Father, if it's possible, take it away. And God sent the angels to strengthen him. I want you to take some comfort. I want you to know this. When you obey, this is a positive statement. God will give you everything you need to carry out his plans. God will not send you and not equip you. God will not tell you to do something and hold back what you need, no matter how impossible that mission, your mission, may seem to be. Bow our heads for a moment, please. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that every one of us will grab a hold of this truth that you are the Lord of the impossible. I pray that we can be like the disciples when they stood before their accusers. When they were told not to do this anymore, they simply said, we must. It's necessary to obey God rather than you. Father, I pray that we would have the faith, the audacious faith, to say yes to you. I'm going to do it, God. I don't know how. I had a man tell me one time, says, I know exactly where to go, but I don't know how to get there. I feel the same way. Lord, I know where we're going. I'm stepping out in faith. Folks, if you haven't called on yet, next Saturday's a step in faith. We have no idea what's going to happen with this thing. God told us to do it. We're doing it. You're a part of it. I believe, based on what I preached today, reading from the Bible of God, that when we move out in faith, God's going to show up in power, show up in mercy, show up in grace. People are going to get saved, healed, delivered, and the church, not just this church, the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, will be increased in Holmesdale, Pennsylvania. If you're listening on the internet, I don't care if you're in the United States, I don't care if you're in Eastern Europe, I don't care if you're in Africa. These principles are the same. When God directs you, follow him. He will give you the power to complete the mission in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everyone just to raise their hands for a second. I'm going to ask you to pray for a moment to yourself. A simple prayer. Father, give me the strength to do what needs to be done. I want you to vocalize. I want you to pray that. That's between you and God. I pray that all the time. God, give me the strength. Give me the strength to do what I need to do. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you have special needs children. Maybe you have a sickness. Maybe you have a financial problem. Without God, you can't get it done. God, help me. I need the strength in Jesus' name. I will obey. I will follow. And I will expect you to empower me. In Jesus' name. Can we all stand to our feet? Father, as we leave this place, I pray we would leave with faith in our hearts. I pray, Father God, we would leave with a conviction to rededicate ourselves, a conviction to obey, to do something in this world that'll change the world. When I leave, the world should not be the same. Lord, help me, strengthen me, fill me, use me in Jesus' name. I prophesy health, wealth, prosperity. May you be successful in all you put your hands to in Jesus' name.